Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, April 8th, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Emily and Michael Meganson. Thank you, Megansons, for joining me today. And after you read, I look forward to a time where we sit down and talk about things of life and faith.
Thank you, Mary. Our Old Testament reading is Exodus 16, verses 17 through 36. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you will gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah.
Our next reading comes from Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way, till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste, because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards, and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction, and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
And now our New Testament reading is Romans 5, 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you so much, Emily and Michael, for joining the podcast today. Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, so we are both from the Birmingham area, both grew up here. I went through the Hoover City school systems, and Michael was homeschooled. And we met at Samford, kind of through Samford.
We both went to Samford. We met in a choir that wasn't part of Samford, but we were both there around the same time. I graduated 2018, Emily 2019.
Tell me the story of how you met.
So we were in this choir. It was called AmeriCoro. Sarah and Joel Burks were also in it, so all four of us really met each other there. And we went on tour to Europe for 3 weeks with the choir, and it was just a group of people that kind of one family started it and invited everyone they knew that sang. And I knew them from the Birmingham Boys Choir. Emily knew them from high school at Spain Park. And so we just practiced for a year and then went on this trip and got to know each other during the trip and started dating afterwards.
So was it love at first sight, Emily?
It was love after 3 weeks together.
Yeah.
In
a
Europe,
lot of
I mean.
Together time.
Oh, yes.
In a romantic place.
Exactly. Hallmark movie.
Okay, you mentioned Joel and Sarah. Tell me how you are connected with them.
Yeah, so Sarah is my identical twin sister. So you've probably seen both of us around the church. It can get a little confusing. So I've known her my whole life. And then we met both of them, or I met Joel on the AmeriCorps trip as well.
And they also started dating right after that trip, yeah. or during that trip.
That's awesome. I want to hear a little bit more about having a twin. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I think having a twin is amazing. I think if you maybe would have asked me when I was a child or maybe like a middle schooler, I would not have said the same thing. But now I think it's great. I mean, it's like having a built-in best friend, and we've gone through similar life stages at similar times, and it's just the best. I love it.
I want to hear a little bit about what you do. What kind of work are you into?
I am a print developer, so it's kind of like a software developer. I work at InsureSoft, which is a company in Tuscaloosa that makes products and software products for insurance companies. So basically my job is to automate the printing of insurance forms.
And what about you, Emily?
Yeah, so I'm a chiropractic assistant. I work at Precision Chiropractic over in Pelham. So my main job is working with the new patients. So I get to take health histories and scans, and then I do some like secretarial stuff like answering the phone, scheduling, calling insurance companies, all that good stuff.
Now, I want to hear a little bit about your hobbies. I'm very interested. I kind of know a few of them already. Michael, tell me what you're interested in.
I love singing. Like I said, we met in the choir, and I've been in the Birmingham Boys Choir since I was 8 years old, and I still am in it in a way. I work for them part-time, and so I teach music theory classes to junior choristers and attend rehearsals, help out wherever I can. It's been a big part of my life. And a more recent hobby for me is woodworking. I kind of picked that up 2 years ago, and I've built a little wood shop in my garage, and that's been a lot of fun. It was actually something my grandfather did, and I remember when I was a kid going over to his workshop, and I remember he helped us build birdhouses one time, and we have probably lots of furniture in our house that he made, but I never really picked it up until more recently, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, how did you learn the trade? Just watching him, or did you watch YouTube? How'd you get there?
Probably mostly YouTube. I do remember things that he taught me, I'm sure, and that my dad taught me over time, but I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I remember I kind of started out wanting to build a workbench because I had gotten a new drill for Christmas and had a bunch of lumber I found in a dumpster, so I was looking up on YouTube ways to build that. Found Rex Kruger. He had a video on how to build a workbench, and then started watching his videos, and then found other channels, and so then I just started binging YouTube woodworking videos and learned a lot from it.
Okay, Emily, what about you? What are some of your hobbies and interests?
Yeah, so I love puzzles. I'm a big puzzler. The 1,000-piece puzzles are my favorite. And then I used to ice skate a lot. I'd say that's still a hobby of mine. I ice skated I started in second grade, and I loved it. I was a single skater for most of it, and then I got into synchronized skating and theater on ice, which was super fun, and yeah.
And now your hobby became a job, correct?
Yeah, so I became a coach when I was 18 years old, and I loved it. For a lot of the things. I loved getting to coach the kids and getting to really know a lot of the kids. And then when COVID hit, the rink shut down. And so I wasn't coaching, obviously, at that point. And I realized how much more free time I had and how much I loved that extra free time. Mm-hmm. So that's when I stopped coaching. And now we just kind of go for fun, and it's great.
So what is a shared interest that you guys have?
We both play Frisbee every Sunday at 2. We've got a group of just random people that have been getting together for about 10 years. I think I've been going for close to 10 years because it started when I was in junior high or high school. It's evolved over time, but it's something we do almost every single week that we love.
I want to hear about your faith in Jesus. How did you grow up to know and love the Lord?
I was raised in a Christian household. We were members at River Chase United Methodist Church for basically my whole childhood. And so I've always grown up knowing Jesus. I would say my faith was strengthened a lot in college. We were both a part of RUF at Samford. And I would say that's when I really started to think through a lot of really important questions. And also, honestly, just dating Michael, he challenged me in a lot of ways that really strengthened my faith.
I also, was born in a Christian home. So we both have pretty boring testimonies, but they're still, we're thankful for that. And there's lots of things I can think of that have strengthened my faith and grown my appreciation for God over the years. We did BSF when we were kids. I remember that's kind of how we got to studying the Bible a lot. And then I remember in youth group really thinking about my faith a lot and being challenged on a lot of things. And yeah, RUF in college was a big thing that helped me learn more and study more and experience the fellowship with other Christians in college. Just being in church for my whole life, obviously, just has ingrained it in me.
Explain for anyone who's listening what BSF is.
So that was Bible Study Fellowship. My parents did it. They have it for adults. I haven't done the adult version yet, but it's just a independent Bible study, and they had it for kids too. That's where some of my parents would take us. And it just meets once a week. They give you homework assignments for reading and filling out questions about your reading. Usually they'll tackle one book or a section of the Bible per semester, and it's a great way to read the Bible and learn about it.
So I see you often serving on Sunday mornings, either in the choir or in the contemporary worship service. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved.
So we started out singing in the choir when we first started attending, because we're both singers and have done choirs, so that seemed like the obvious place to plug in, and loved doing that, loved being in the choir. And then Joel, since he leads the contemporary worship, has since invited us to join in. Emily will often sing up there with him, and he's asked me to do sound before and the slides. So we're glad to be involved in both services on different weeks.
Yes, that's wonderful that you have service opportunities in both the traditional and the contemporary service. Okay, I was wondering, since you both mentioned that you are singers, would you sing the doxology for us?
Yes, we will do that. Mary warned us about this beforehand, and I joked that it reminds me of my dad, because it seems like whenever we would have guests over to the house, he would pray for the food at dinner, and then all of a sudden just break out in a praise God, and we were all supposed to join in the doxology, and we were always cringing because the guest never saw that coming, and it just seemed awkward to us. But it was something that I look back on fondly, and he still does it to this day. When we're like, it seems like it's only when we have guests over. It's not a everyday thing, but it's fun. So we'll lead us off in the doxology. Here goes. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining the podcast today. Michael, would you lead us in a time of prayer?
Certainly. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we've had together to read your word. I pray that you would help us to learn from it, apply it to our lives. Thank you for the truths in it, and that you are all we need, that you give us our daily bread and have died to save us from our sins. I pray that we would glorify you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.